Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee. And Lord, we thank Thee again for another opportunity to worship Thee publicly, to gather ourselves in the house of God. Come, meet with us this morning, we pray. Lord, may this time be a very blessed time, a very hallowed time around Thy word. Lord, come, we pray, by Thy Holy Spirit, help us and aid us in our worship now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn based on the words of Psalm number 91 that we learned during our first lockdown. The secret place, who dwells within his most secret place, is never far from his blessed grace. And we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please.
Yeah.
Let's still our hearts again, please, in a word of prayer. Seek his face just now and pray for his blessing upon our coming together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into that secret place just now. And yet, O God, we thank thee that today we can, Lord, with boldness approach unto thee. We thank thee, Lord, this morning for the means and the way of access that we have. We praise thee, Lord, that today we come to thee, not because we're any better than anyone else, but Lord, we thank thee that we come to thee today because of Christ, because of all that he has done for us. We thank the Lord for his atoning work there on the cross. We thank the Lord for his work of redemption. We thank the Lord that we have been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord this morning for that finished work. We thank the Lord that today we can come and claim all the merits of Christ. We thank the Lord today we have, Lord, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And it is through him that we can approach unto thee today. And Lord, we pray that as we come, Lord, that you'll aid us in our worship. Help us, Lord, to worship thee aright. Lord, we pray that we might know what it is truly to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Come upon us, and Lord, come amongst us, O God, we pray. O Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray, in a most remarkable way. Lord, may we know with great assurance that God is here. Lord, we pray that you'll remove every distracting thought. And Lord, that for this time we might know what it is to be shut in with God. Come and speak to our hearts. Minister to all of our needs. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be very conscious that God is here. We pray, Lord, you'll bless all who have been enabled to gather in God's house this morning. We thank the Lord for all who have that desire to come and to worship thee publicly. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as, Lord, we would meet one with the other, it is our prayer, our desire, that most of all we might meet with thee. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll make this a Bethel to our souls today. May this truly be the house of God to us. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us. We pray, Lord, today for those who are aged, Lord, and those who no longer can worship with us publicly. Lord, we thank thee for their faithfulness in years gone by. We thank thee, Lord, for your goodness toward them. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even now, and as they, Lord, no longer can gather with us, we pray, Lord, that you'll meet with them, touch them, minister to them in their own homes even today, we pray. Heavenly Father, we'd remember those who are cold and careless about the things of God and about the house of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak to such today. We pray, Lord, you'll be pleased, Lord, to bring the wandering ones back to thee. Lord, speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Restore, Lord, those years that the locusts have eaten. And Heavenly Father, we pray that there will be a restoring once again and a coming to the Father's house. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless us around the Word of God just now. Oh, Lord, we pray you'll come. Help us, Lord, as we would read the Word of God. Lord, as we would consider the Word of God. We pray, Lord, you'll come and speak to all of our hearts. We pray, Lord, today for the going forth of the Word, not only here in Sandown, but, Lord, across our land and across our nation. Oh, God, we pray that you'll drive back the forces of hell. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might, Lord, see the hand of God at work. Heavenly Father, come in revival power. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, we stand in such great need of thee. And yet, O God, we thank thee that the Lord thinketh upon us. And Lord, think upon us, Lord, as a people. Think upon us, Lord, as a nation. O God, we pray that you be pleased to pour out your blessing. And Lord, restore us, Lord, to our first love once again. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless all today. Lord, we just ask, O God, that there will be across our land, as the Word of God goes forth, many signs to follow the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless the Word that has gone forth already to the boys and girls in the Sunday school in this place today, to the young people in the Bible class. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to every heart. Heavenly Father, we pray that as, Lord, the voice of the Sunday school teacher, the Bible class teacher has now fallen silent, we pray, Lord, that thy voice, thy still small voice, will speak on. Lord, remember our children, remember our young people for good. Lord, put that hedge of protecting blood around them, we pray. Keep them pure. Lord, keep them from the things of this world. Keep them, Lord, unto thyself. And Lord, for those that have wandered, bring them back. For those that are not yet saved, save them. We pray and make them trophies of grace. We ask of thee, Our Father, we pray today you'll bless, Lord, every gathering such as this across this city, across our province, and across our nation. Bless, Lord, every faithful herald of the cross this morning. Encourage them, we pray. Remember especially our dear brother Philip there and Lewis. Bless him, Lord, and these his last services in that congregation. May he know great help, Lord, we pray today. And Lord, we pray that for he and Valentina, for Joshua and Josiah and Jessica, Lord, that as they would take their leave of the congregation there in Lewis, and Lord, as they would go to take up the work of God there in the capital city of London, we pray, Lord, that you'll encourage them. Lord, help them to settle in, and may they know much blessing from God, Lord, in the days that lie ahead. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember those who are taking up new ministries. We ask, Lord, for our brother Nelson, Lord, as he would start up the work of God there in Resharkin this incoming week, encourage him. Remember our brother Simon Anderson, Lord, as he would go to take up the work of God in Auchnacloy. Encourage him, we pray, and Lord, bless, Lord, these churches at this time, and remember us for good as a denomination. Lord, we cry unto thee, come and visit this vine once again, we pray. Forgive us, Lord, for our wanderings from thee, and Lord, we pray that we might know what it is to have those times of refreshing once again from the Father. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning to the Word of God, to the New Testament, and to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and the chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to come this morning to consider the last in the series of this series that we have been looking at, the broken things of the Bible, and we want to look at the broken barrier this morning. This will conclude this series for now, and God willing, we'll start another series in a few weeks' time. But we come to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read from the verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 11. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me at this stage bid you all a very warm welcome in the Savior's name. We're glad to see you in God's house today. And to those who are visiting with us, we welcome you as well in the Savior's name. We trust you feel very much at home with us here in Sandown. And we pray the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Delighted to see our sister Isabel back out with us again. And glad to see you, Isabel. May the Lord continue to keep his hand upon you. And glad to see that you've recovered sufficiently to be back in God's house. The Lord bless you. And to you all, thank you for being with us this morning. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well in the Savior's name. Can I remind you of the meetings for the week that lies before us in the will of the Lord? We have our Sunday school over in Hollywood this afternoon at 2:30. And do remember, the boys and girls, as they meet there in the community centre in Redburn, pray that the Lord will bless them, bless the teachers, as they teach the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30. Then we have our family service, our monthly family service this night at 6:30. We encourage you back again tonight. Now, we're missing some of you on a Sunday night, but we want to see you back on a Sunday night here in God's house. 6:30, our brother Derek Preston will be along to testify of God's grace and God's goodness in his life through hard times of sickness, difficult times that the Lord brought him through. And I know you'll be blessed as you listen to our brother Derek come and testify this evening. So you plan to be here, but not only come yourself, bring others with you. Invite someone along to the family service tonight. That's why these meetings are held, to give you an opportunity to invite others along to church. So use that opportunity and invite someone along tonight. We have our Explorers Club here in the church for the boys and girls Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Then we have our Bible study this Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And this will also be our monthly communion service as we meet around the Lord's table, being the third Sunday of the month. We will meet around the Lord's table this Thursday night after the time around the Word of God. Then on Friday night, our youth fellowship will meet here in the church at 8 o'clock, and our brother John will be speaking on Friday night to the young people. Next Sunday starts off as usual with the Sunday school Bible class, 10:15 in the morning, and then we have our morning worship service at 11:30. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to deal with the subject of church on the sofa or church in the sanctuary. Does it really matter? And we're going to look at the whole subject of public worship. One of the casualties, I fear, of the pandemic has been this whole issue of public worship. And so we want to look whether it really is church on the sofa or church in the sanctuary. Does it really matter whether you're on a sofa or whether you're in God's house? And we want to look at that subject next Lord's Day morning. 2:30 will be the Hollywood Sunday School, and then our gospel service next Sunday evening again at 6:30. And our sister, Mrs. Ruth McRoberts, will be here to sing in the gospel next Sunday night. I want you to remember in your prayers our brother Philip Knowles. Philip will take his last services today in Lewis. This is his last Sunday there in Lewis today. And we want you to remember him. Pray the Lord will bless him. There's a farewell service for them tomorrow night. And the Reverend Baker will be going over to take that farewell service tomorrow night. But this will be his last Sunday preaching in Lewis before they move to London. They're planning to move by the end of this week up to London to take up the work of God there. And then Thursday week we'll see his ordination and installation to the ministry there in South Grove, Free Church in Walthamstow in North London. And I and a few others are planning to go over for that ordination service. Looking forward to that. But please do remember Philip, Valentina, and Joshua, Josiah, and Jessica, that the Lord will be with them and help them as they settle in to the work of God there. Can I remind our elders that we have a session meeting on Tuesday, the 9th of November, God willing, at 8 p.m. Also, can I remind you of the shoebox appeal? If you haven't got the leaflets as yet, then we encourage you to do that and get as many shoeboxes filled as you possibly can. And I encourage you as well to pass this on to others, people that you know in your home, your family, your neighbors, pass them on, and maybe they could help as well. And let's see if we can get as many shoeboxes out to Portugal as is possible. The last date for bringing those in is the 21st of November, Sunday the 21st of November. And if you can bear that in mind, please, we need them in by that Sunday so that we can get them to our brother Ronnie. The Missionary Council offering for last week came to a total of £302. We want to thank you for your giving to the Missionary Council. Also, we want to thank you for your giving as well to the minibus appeal that raised a total of £6,470.90. And that is a tremendous giving and offering. And so to you all, thank you sincerely for your giving, your sacrificial giving to the work of God. Do remember those who are unwell, those who are shut in at this time. Pray the Lord will be near to them. The offerings as well, they will be available there as you leave in the boxes. We're not taking up offerings at this time. We're going to turn to another hymn just before we come to the Word of God. We're going to sing the words of hymn number 113. If you have a copy of our hymn book, if not, the words will be on the screen. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. We're turning back to the book of Ephesians, please, Ephesians chapter 2. We'll take us our text, the words of verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 14. And there we read, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Let's just seek God's face, please, in a word of prayer. Let's ask for help as we come to His Word this morning. Let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee. And Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Rejoice, O God, that this is the living Word of the living God. And Lord, we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that You'd make this Word live in all of our hearts. Speak to us, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray that this might be a very blessed time around the Word of God. May we know help from heaven today. May we hear the voice of the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we lift our eyes heavenward. So Lord, we pray You'll give us help now to preach. And give us help, Lord, as we hear what God the Lord would have to say to us. Lord, speak to us and speak through us. Fill us, O God, we pray, with Thy Holy Spirit. Empty us, Lord, of ourselves. And may we know, Lord, that power of God from on high to hear and to take in the Word of God. So answer prayer and be with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Despite the best concerted efforts of governments and political leaders over many, many years across our world to remove barriers and divisions between their people, there still remains today many, many divisions and barriers between people and between nations. There are cultural barriers. There are ethnic barriers. There are class barriers. There are social barriers. And even in recent days, we have seen through the brutal murder of Sir David Amos MP how that many barriers and many divisions still exist in our nation. Despite all the moves to break these barriers down through political or societal change, barriers still exist. And there still are many divisions between people and between nations. We're all familiar with barriers and divisions in our own province. We're all familiar with the peace walls that separated and segregated communities from each other. They served as a reminder of the barriers that there are between people. And there are many barriers and there are many walls still in existence across our world. You think, of course, of one of the most famous barriers, one of the most famous walls, the Great Wall of China, built many years ago by the Chinese emperors in order to protect the Chinese dynasty from outside invasion and assault. We can think as well of the Berlin Wall, that physical barrier that was built between East and West Berlin and separating East and West Germany, and served as a continual reminder of the attempts of the then Soviet Union during the Cold War era of complete domination and control. In northern England itself, there's Hadrian's Wall. And while much of it has been removed, there still remains part of Hadrian's Wall that was built many centuries ago from the North Sea to the Irish Sea by the Roman Emperor Hadrian in order to protect his empire and to protect it against foreign invasion. But while many of these barriers have broken down and fallen down, we still live in a divided society. We still live with many divisions. This morning, as we look at another one, the final one of the broken things of Scripture in this series, I want us to come to what is probably the most monumental and what is the most fundamental broken thing in Scripture and, in fact, in the whole history of humanity. Because we come this morning to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 14, to the broken wall of partition. Not so much between different people, but more between people, a sinful people, and a holy God. The Apostle Paul here in Ephesians 2 verse 14 speaks of the middle wall of partition being broken down. And that's a most significant and important statement for us to hear. Because as we'll go on to see this morning, this broken wall, this broken barrier brings us hope today. It gives us hope today. It gives us real hope, real peace. It means we have a message. Because, as we'll see, it brings us to center on Christ, the one who brings true peace and the one who brings true joy. And as we consider this middle wall of partition being broken down, may we be brought to see Christ. May our hearts and minds today be lifted to see Him. Look away from a preacher in a pulpit today. Look to Christ. See Him. As we think of this broken barrier, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the wall that separates. The wall that separates. Paul speaks about the middle wall of partition. He describes this barrier here as a middle wall of partition. It is a wall that separates. What is meant by the wall? What is the wall? Well, as we think of this wall that separates, notice the subject of it. Because when Paul speaks here about the middle wall of partition, he is referring to an actual wall. He is referring to an actual barrier, an actual means of separation and division that actually existed in the time that Paul was writing and to the people to whom he was writing. Because within the temple, in the surrounding areas, there were various sections and various compartments or walls or fences that were used to separate off each different area. And one of those walls or one of those fences that was erected was around the outer area of the temple. It was a middle wall. And through that middle wall, no Gentile was ever allowed to pass. That was an area reserved only for the Jew. The area immediately surrounding the temple was restricted to the Jews only. And that barrier, that middle wall that Paul makes reference to here in verse 14, it served really as a no trespassing sign to the Gentiles. The Jews shall not pass here. You shall not pass in through this wall. In fact, on that wall, there was the following inscription where it said, "No stranger or no Gentile is to enter within the balustrade round the temple and enclosure. And whoever is caught will be himself responsible for his ensuing death." So this was an actual wall that separated. And so when Paul is writing here to the Ephesian church, he uses this wall as an object lesson, as an illustration, because it separated the temple from the outside area. It marked the boundary between the Jew and the Gentile. It separated people. Now, this wall, of course, along with the temple itself, eventually was brought down when the temple was destroyed in AD 70. But you see, for those to whom Paul was writing, they would have been very familiar with this middle wall. They had a very clear understanding of what that wall meant. Its subject was all about separation and division. That's the subject of that wall. But what is its significance? Why does Paul speak about the middle wall of partition here in verse 14? Well, let's look at the significance of the wall. You see, the reality is that the Jews fanatically defended this division. They pointed to their supposed superiority through the ceremonial law. They believed that they had a higher standing and a greater acceptance before God because of their nationality and because of their identity. And so they defended this division with great energy. They guarded this dividing wall with great diligence to ensure that no Gentile would pass through. In fact, if you will, for a moment, turn back to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. And the verse 28. And in this chapter, we have the account of Paul being attacked in the temple and being accused in the temple. And look what they say in Acts chapter 21 and the verse 28, crying out, "Men of Israel, help. This is the man," speaking of Paul, "that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place." They accused Paul of speaking out against the temple. But look what they say. "And further brought Greeks or Gentiles also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place." They accuse Paul of bringing Gentiles or Greeks in through this middle wall of partition, and so in their view, in their eyes, polluting the temple. Yet the reality is, folks, that in the eyes of a holy God, there is not a division between peoples. There is a division rather between people and God. There is no difference. There is no difference, the Holy Scripture tells us, between the Jew and the Gentile. We are all equally subject to the law. And we are all equally condemned under the law. We are all lawbreakers. The Jew and the Gentile alike. And you see, Paul is saying here that this middle wall of partition, it speaks of an awful wall of partition, something that separates people from God. That wall, of course, is sin. Paul, in this present context here in verse 14, therefore is not referring to an actual wall, but rather to a spiritual wall, to the invisible barrier which separated people from God, to a barrier, to a wall that kept people out from coming to God. Today, there still is a barrier that separates. Today, there still is a wall that separates. And it's not a wall of bricks. It's a wall of sin. Scripture tells us that your sins have separated you from God. Sin is the great divider today. Sin is the great separator. And listen, if that sin has not been repented of, it is that sin that will cause you to be eternally separated from God in a lost hell for all eternity. There still is a wall that separates. There still is something which keeps you from God, and that's sin. And if you have never repented of your sin, if you've never turned to Jesus Christ, if you're not saved today, then you still are separated from God. There still is a division between you and the Lord. And so he speaks here about this wall that separates. But I want us to come further into these verses and see not only the wall that separates, but I want you to see, secondly, now the work that eliminates. The work that eliminates, that brings down this wall. Because you see, Paul is not wanting his readers to think about a brick wall, although he used that middle wall as an object lesson. He's wanting them to think, as I've said, about a spiritual wall, a separating wall. But as he does so, he brings them to show the one who has removed that wall, who has dealt with that wall, who has eliminated that wall and brought it down. As we think and we consider the work that eliminates this wall, I want you to see the breaker of this wall. Look in verse 13, Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 13. In verse 13, we have the name Christ Jesus. And that name is carried throughout the rest of verse 13 and into verse 14. For he, referring back to verse 13, he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Who has broken down this middle wall? Who? It's Christ Jesus. It's not a religion. It's not a creed. It's not a church. It is Christ, Christ Jesus. In fact, if you look again at verse 14, look at it. It says, for he. And in the original Greek, it's very emphatic. We could also read, for he himself, or for he and none other. Verse 13 speaks about being brought near to God. And then verse 14 tells us how. How are we brought near to God? For he. Every word in Scripture is so important. Even little insignificant words that seem just to be put there to add to the text. They're not there to add to the text. That word for there is the whole basis of verse 13. How are we brought near to God? By the blood of Christ. How does that happen? For He Himself. This breaking down, this pulling down of this wall of separation which brings people to God, it's not through an organization. It's not through a religion. Rather, it's through a person. And salvation from the dawn of humanity to that day when we shall see the Lord return, salvation has only ever been in a person. Salvation has only ever been found in one person, and that person is Christ. There is salvation in none other. There is no other way you can be brought to God but by Christ. For He Himself, He and none other. It's Christ. Christ alone that has broken down this middle wall of partition. Partition, yes, yes, there's a division. Christ has broken down that partition. He has overcome every barrier that separates the sinner from God. He is the breaker. In fact, one of the titles of Scripture given to Christ is that very title, Christ the Breaker. In Micah's prophecy, chapter 2, verse number 12, it speaks about people being gathered together, different people, and then it describes in verse 13, the Breaker, who is Christ, is come up before them. You see, Christ is the one who breaks through every national identity, every national barrier, every ethnic class. Makes all men one before God. Makes all sinners before God. But how does this breaking down of this wall of partition, how did it happen? We see it happen through a person. But come back into Ephesians 2 and see it happen not only through the person of Christ, it happened through as well the work of Christ. There are two wonderful truths taught throughout Scripture. That's Christ, who He is, what He is. He's God. He became man. But there's also taught another wonderful truth. That's the work of Christ, what He did. And you see, it's on the basis of who He is that makes Him our only Redeemer, what He did. He, because He was God, who became man, He was the only one who could ever bring us to God. We see His work mentioned to us in very vivid language in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Where's that bring us to? Brings us to the cross. Brings us to Calvary. Brings us to the work of Christ. Verse 15. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Speaking about His flesh. Speaking about the work of Christ. Paul takes this thought further in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews in the chapter 10. And the verse 19, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us, how? Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, brings us all to the work of Christ. What is the work that eliminates the separation between the sinner and the holy God? What is the work that brings the sinner to God? It's not the works of any sinner.
It's the works of the Savior himself.
We're not saved by works. We are saved by his work, his finished work. The blood of Christ, his flesh, it always brings us to the cross. When Christ cried on the cross, "It is finished," you will know that the veil in the temple was torn in two, fell down. It meant that the sinner could come to God, right into the very holiest of all. And sinner in this meeting today, without Christ, you can be brought to God, but you can only be brought to God by Christ. By Christ. You see, the breaking of Christ's body on the cross, the breaking of his skin, the breaking of his side, the breaking of his face, the breaking of Christ's body on the cross of crucifixion, the work of Christ on the cross broke down the separation, the alienation, the division, that sinners could be brought to God. Christ is the breaker of the barrier, his person and his work, that barrier which sin and the broken law had created. Christ, in his breaking on the cross, broke down that barrier and opened up the way to God through his finished work. There is a way, you see, that sin can be dealt with. There is a way that your sin can be forgiven, and it's only through Christ. It's only through Christ. Christ is the breaker. But there's also another part of his work that we see in verse 14. He's also the one who does the binding. Look at verse 14, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one." What a wonderful reality today. Jew, Gentile, religious, irreligious, they all come the way of the cross. They all come the way of Christ. Their sins can be forgiven, and all can be made one. This is not talking about some sort of ecumenical unity. This is biblical unity. How can a sinner be made one? It's through Christ. How can they be united one to another? It's only through the work of Christ. National barriers removed, religious walls broken down, and people from different backgrounds and people from different communities all brought into the fold in the family of God. How? All through Christ. The Scottish expositor John Eadie, speaking on this, said that Jew and Gentile are not changed in race nor amalgamated in blood, but they are one in point of privilege and position toward God. You see, the Jew who comes to God through Christ stands just as accepted as the Gentile, the non-Jew who comes to God through Christ. Christ, who is the breaker, is also the binder. Salvation is found alone in Christ and in his work alone. The only work that will bring you to God is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The only work that will save you and make you ready for heaven, the only work that will keep you out of hell, is the work of Jesus Christ. Oh, that today you would run to Christ. There's the wall that separates. There's the work that eliminates. But thirdly, as we close, I want us to see now the wonder that fascinates. The wonder that fascinates. There are two wonders. In fact, there are many wonders, but just two I'll bring before you. that comes to us today as a result of that broken barrier, that comes to us as a result of Christ himself having broken down that middle wall of partition between us and made both one. And you know, these wonders should fascinate the soul. Look at verse 14. The first wonder is peace. For he is our peace. Peace there spoken of as that which is broken. Of course, that broken relationship between God and man, broken because of sin. Sinners separated from God because of sin. That broken relationship, that enmity that existed between God and man, is now at peace, not through a process, through a person. You will never find peace in a process. You'll only find it in a person in Christ. Christ not only brings peace but between God and man, but more than that, he himself is peace. All who come to Christ for salvation lose their national, their political identity, and they find that one identity in Christ. The Jew and Gentile, divided by enmity, are now made one in one body through Christ. You see, peace will never be a reality until Christ is in a life, and Christ alone. How many search for peace? How many long for peace? But today they reject the Prince of Peace. You see, peace is not a precept. Peace is not a principle. Peace is a person. Troubled soul today, you can find peace and find it in Christ. Many homes and lives ruined today. Many minds troubled, and yet there is peace in Jesus Christ. He himself is our peace. Christ dealt with the sin problem between God and man. That enmity that verse 15 speaks about, that opposition, Christ dealt with it by his coming into this world, bringing peace, the one who is the Prince of Peace. During World War II, a group of American soldiers were exchanging fire with Germans who occupied a farmhouse. The family who lived in that house suddenly had to run to the barn for protection. But their little 3-year-old daughter became frightened. In the midst of all that was going on, rather than running to the barn, she ran out into the field where the war was taking place and the gunfire was taking place between the Americans and the Germans. And when both sides saw that little girl in the middle of that field, in the middle of that war field, they immediately stopped their firing. They immediately ceased firing until she was safe. A little child brought peace, brief although as it was. And Jesus Christ came as a babe into this world in order to go to the cross. Why? In order to bring peace. Peace between God and man. What a wonder today that we have peace. You can have peace with God today through Christ. The other wonder is reconciliation, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Reconciliation, reconciled to God. Do you know that's the greatest need of your life just now? If you're here without Christ, that's the greatest need you have, to be reconciled to God. Verse 12 speaks about those who are without hope and without God in this world. Sinner, that's you. You have no hope. You're without God. But how can you be reconciled to God? Verse 16, one body by the cross, again by Christ. Verse 15 talks about the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You see, when Christ came into this world, it didn't mean that the law of God was set aside. We broke the law of God because of sin. We were all lawbreakers. But the law of God was not set aside. The law of God was not overlooked. But rather, in Christ coming into this world, He satisfied the law of God. He met every demand of that law. And so, we are reconciled to God through Christ. That dividing wall between the sinner and the Lord, it's all because of Christ. What a wonder, what a thrill it should thrill our hearts to think that we who were sinners, who deserve nothing but God's wrath and condemnation, who deserve nothing but the flames of hell for all eternity, have been reconciled to God. Brought to Him. I wonder, has that been your experience? Are you reconciled to God today? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know this peace? In September 1938, Sir Neville Chamberlain, the then British Prime Minister, returned back to England from a peace conference in Germany, declaring that well-known phrase, peace for our time. He believed that the agreement, the Munich agreement that had been signed, was sufficient to have stopped the onward march of Hitler. Yet we all know that 1 year later, Hitler invaded Poland, and on the 3rd of September 1939, Great Britain declared war on Germany. Peace didn't last. Chamberlain's great peace mission had failed. And you know, all peace missions are ultimately bound for failure too, because they do not recognize the one who is the peace. They refuse to bow to one and acknowledge one who has brought peace. There have been many agreements throughout history, many covenants between warring nations, but they never lasted. But thank God tonight, today the only eternal covenant that has lasted, the only peace agreement that will last, is the one made by eternal God, sealed by the eternal blood of His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, there on the cross. It's Christ's peace mission that Paul speaks about in these verses. And thank God, that's a peace mission that will last. The broken barrier that sees the separation removed and the reconciliation realized. Let me ask you as we close this morning, is Christ your peace? Is Christ your hope? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You'll never find peace in this world. You'll never find peace in this world till you come to Christ. And for those that are saved, may we rejoice this morning that Christ hath broken down that middle wall of partition that separated us from God. May we never lose the wonder. Never lose the wonder of the peace that we have through Christ, and the reconciliation that is ours because of Him. He is our peace. Broken down that middle wall of partition. And because of Him today, we have hope. We have a message. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that today we might never lose the wonder of all that Christ accomplished for us there. We thank the Lord that He is our peace, the one who has made both one and broken down that middle wall of partition between us. We thank Thee, O God, today that there is reconciliation. Lord, that the barriers of separation can be removed. Those barriers, Lord, that keep us from God. We thank Thee, Lord, that all because of Christ, His person and His work, we have peace with God. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bring someone this morning, Lord, to the foot of the cross. There they will find mercy. There they'll find peace. There they will be reconciled to the Savior. O Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts. Thrill our hearts, Lord, with Thy word. And be with us in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together the words of hymn number 528. Again, the words will be on the screen. 'Tis finished. The Messiah dies. Cut off for sins, but not His own. Accomplished is the sacrifice. The great redeeming work is done. This is a wonderful hymn written by Mr. Wesley. One that we maybe don't sing all that very often, but wonderful words. Listen and think of the words as we sing them together. 528, 'tis finished, the Messiah dies. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for the finished work of Christ. We thank the Lord that we can say and sing, 'Tis finished, the Messiah dies, cut off our sins, but not His own. We thank the Lord today that we are accepted in the beloved. We thank the Lord that that middle wall of partition has been removed. We thank the Lord today for all who are in Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray today that others might be brought out of the darkness of their sin and brought into that relationship with the Savior. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us. Go with us, Lord, as we make our homeward journey. Be with us this afternoon. We pray, Lord, You'll bless the Sunday school in Hollywood this afternoon. We pray, oh God, You'll bless in the gospel tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bring many in from this area, Lord, under the Word of God. So hear and answer prayer. Go with us and be with us, and may Thy presence rest, remain, and abide upon us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.